Dave Radio, Fridays at noon on CITR.
Wow, wow, Dave, you're so sway. Oh, Dave, I like your shave.
And we're the Daves. I'm David Badanek.
I'm Dave Campbell.
I'm Dave Frank.
We're the Daves.
And you're listening to CITR FM 101.9.
CITR Radio.
And these are the Daves of our lives. It is Friday. Where did that come from? It is Friday, the 6th of April, 2018, and this is Dave Radio with Radio Dave on the radio. We are broadcasting live on CITR 101.9 FM and streaming on the World Wide Web at CITR.ca from our studios underlooking the agora of the Palatial Student Nest on the Musqueam territory of Alcsen, better known to you as the Point Grey campus of the University of British Columbia. On the program today, we'll meet actor Yu-Rei Kang, a once and future UBC theater student currently playing Asaka, Mother of the Earth, in Once on This Island, a one-act musical that's on now at the Redgate Review Stage in Granville Island. And we'll talk to the man behind one of the longest-running improv companies in the country, Mr. Jay Ono, a Vancouver Theater Sports will be on the line. Plus, the usual call board, and we'll fill you in on what's happening in theater this weekend. Plus, lots of local music. It's Vancouver's go-to hour for local independent theater, film, and music, and it starts right now. Don't touch that dial. And let's kick things off with some tunes here. There's an event going on tonight in the Olympic Village. It's a place called the Woods Studio, which is right at the corner of 2nd and Ontario. Number 7 West 2nd Avenue is the address. The show is called Folk What You Heard. It's a performance by Devil in the Wood Shack with supporting performances by the Still Spirits and Polka Time. So why don't we take a listen to Devil in the Woodshack?
When my feet stand still, ooh.
That's Devil in the Woodshack, and as I said, they'll be playing at the Woods Studio at 2nd and Ontario tonight. A rockin', roarin' good time. On the phone right now is Mr. Jay Ono. Hello, Jay.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going great. Jay is the, what's your official title? You're the executive director?
Executive director, but, you know, most of the people that work for theater sports don't really know what I do around
yeah.
here.
The longer they know you, the less they know what you do. I understand that.
That's right.
Anyway,
that's
it's the Vancouver Theatre Sports comedy, improv comedy company. Vancouver Theatre Sports League is how I always know it.
Yeah, we're trying to drop the league.
Yeah.
Don't you think it's quite the mouthful?
Yeah. But that's kind of how things started. Just give people a bit of background. It's one of those Vancouver institutions that everybody knows about, but if you really wanted to know what it was about, a lot of people don't know the whole history. Theater sports has been in Vancouver for almost 40 years.
Yeah, theater sports was developed by a gentleman named Keith Johnstone, mm-hmm. and he was working with a university group in Calgary and was kind of artistic director of a company called Loose Moose. So a couple of actors in Vancouver heard about him, brought him out, did a workshop with a group of actors, and they just loved the format. And what it is it kind of combines a sporting event with improv. So two teams of improvisers, they alternate scenes, and the audience judges it after every scene. And at the end of the match, there's a winner. So we started, that was in 79-80. We started doing late night shows downtown at a place called City Stage. And it would be like one show a week at 11 o'clock or 11:30. It was really grassroots. People used to line around the block, and it used to be by donation, pass the hat. So, and here we are, you know, 39 years later, and we're kind of over a $2 million improv organization, which is quite big for a not-for-profit.
Yeah, it really has grown because it's gone from just being like you said, a once a week kind of impromptu performance thing. There's a training program, the Theater Sports Academy. There's also you do a lot of corporate work, both performing for corporate events, but also training executives and people in corporations. And that. Talk a little bit about some of that stuff.
Yeah, well, you know, the kind of basic skills and values of improv, it, you know, it crosses so many different mediums. So, you know, you look at just the kind of values that we practice is, you know, you know, taking risks, not being afraid to fail, thinking on your feet, making the other person look good, trusting your ideas. I mean, those are all things that, you know, those are great life skills. So we can apply it in many different ways. One is through performance, you know, the other through is teaching people and sharing these ideas through practice. So corporate training will go into an organization and do team building or presentation skills, creativity. And we also kind of do the Improv Comedy Institute, which is kind of more for the public. You have a lot of, that's where we get most of our performers from. But there's a lot of people that come there that are just doing it because they want to, you know, stretch their creative muscle. Creativity is one of those things that, you know, we believe everyone's creative and you just have to tap into it and you have to work it like a muscle.
Yeah, yeah. We all need some way to express that creative side of us just to stay sane sometimes.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the show that's on, that's starting. Actually, it starts next week, but the current show you're working on, Murder on the Improv Express.
Yeah, a killer comedy.
Yeah.
So, yes, it uses Murder on the Orient Express is kind of the, you know, kind of a satiring that kind of a genre of a show. So murder mystery in the 1930s. It takes place on a train into the Rockies. And basically what we will call this is called a genre piece. So the characters and the relationships are really important. And then, of course, for the audience, there's a game of whodunit. So everything is improvised. There's a few kind of plot points the performers have to hit. But everything that happens in between those is totally improvised. And the audience plays a big part. They kind of build the characters based on ask for from the audience. So the audience is really involved, like any of our shows.
This is more of a participatory event than some of the other genre shows that Theater Sports has done in the past, though, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot of interaction with the audience.
Yeah.
There's a lot, you know, where the performers go into the audience. I just watched a workshop right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it looked pretty exciting. It's being directed by our artistic associate. His name's Nathan Clark, and he's doing a really great job. And the performers are, you know, they're just exploring the boundaries and where they can take stuff. And then you need an audience.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't do it, especially something like this. You need the audience. It sounds a lot like something that was quite trendy for a while, but you haven't seen much of it lately. The murder mystery events. Sometimes people would hold private parties like a murder mystery. I know there used to be a company that did a murder mystery on a train, the train up to Whistler.
Oh, cool!
The
Royal Hudson.
The Royal Hudson. That's right. Yeah. So it's
sort of along
those lines.
What's that?
I was just saying, this sounds like it's sort of along those lines.
Yeah, definitely. And, mm-hmm. you know, one of our biggest shows that was done in Theater Sports history was called Suspect, A Game of Murder.
Yeah.
And it was a kind of in that murder mystery genre. And the person who it was a great vehicle for, it was Colin Mochrie. So he was the inspector and the detective, and that's the first time that Colin, you know, really kind of growing and growing as an improviser and as a performer, and he was just brilliant in that.
Yeah. So it's successful, I think, because the audience gets to participate and they have a lot of fun at it as well. It's sort of unpredictable.
Yeah, and it, you know, improv. You know, a lot of people try to explain improv or, you know, say to their friends, like somebody said to me, hey, you got to come down to Theater Sports. I'm like, what is it? Well, they make up stuff on the spot. They'll get like hockey and they'll ask for like a vegetable and they'll get like zucchini. And then they'll do a scene about zucchini hockey. And I'm like, yeah, maybe I'll go next week.
That's
it sounds so lame. But, you know, just
see
it live.
I want more of that zucchini hockey.
Yeah. Oh, it was funny because the guy, the zucchini snapped in half and then he started to eat it.
Yeah.
Yeah, sounds really fun.
Oh, and I wanted to ask you one more question. In your space on Granville Island, you have your own lounge and it's called the Neil McRae Bar and Lounge.
Yes.
Now, I'm assuming that's the late Neil McRae, the sports director from CKNW.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So, yeah, unfortunately, he passed away. Mm-hmm. But you know,
well, was he like a big supporter of theater sports, or were you big fans of his, or how did the bar get his name?
Well, he basically sponsored it. So there was when we were doing our capital campaign, mm-hmm. there were certain aspects that, you know, different sponsorship opportunities and naming opportunities. So I don't know how much he knew about theater sports, but he was doing a lot of on-air stuff with Bro Jake.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all of a sudden it's just like Bro Jake's like, hey, Neil, you've always wanted your own bar. You know, there's a theater company called Theater Sports, and they're looking for somebody to name the bar after. It would be perfect for you. And this went on for a couple weeks, right? So yeah. Bro Jake, all the time, I'd go, Neil, okay, let's talk about Vancouver Theater Sports again. I know you haven't seen them, but you really need to support these people. Anyway, so he kind of came in, gave us a nice sum of money, and he was a great person to kind of be involved with, you know, he'd come to shows, and it's great to chat to, and yeah.
Yeah, he had kind of a gruff personality on the air, but I had the pleasure of working with him a short while about 30 years ago, and he was a really nice guy off the air, so it's a great way to keep his name alive, too.
Yeah. For sure.
So let's sell some tickets. So your shows happen at the Improv Center on Granville Island.
Yeah. So coming up, as you said, Murder on the Improv Express is our feature show.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll run Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 7:30. And then all the other, we run like 12 shows a week from Tuesday to Sunday. So we have Theater Sports, which is the competitive improv, which goes on Friday and Saturday, kind of 9:30. Then we have a late show, which is like OK Tinder and No Filter. So there's something for everybody.
Yeah.
And it's a great time. We have a great venue and a great staff. So, you know, it's not only about what goes on stage. It's also about what happens off stage and how people are treated and how we value our guests. So it's a great experience. We got great staff. We got awesome performers. Mm-hmm. And it's great
well,
company.
As I mentioned before we went on the air, I ran into one of your longtime performers this morning, Brian Anderson, and he was saying, he was commenting on how many people that that started there in the 80s and 90s are still coming back, that you have a great a core of alumni, plus you have you're constantly bringing new performers on stage as well. So it's a great opportunity for people to see familiar faces and to see some new arising talent.
Yeah, and that's great. You know, mm-hmm. diversity is really important in an ensemble, and it's great because we all have follow very basic kind of what we believe are basic core skills, and we all agree on what the style of that is. And then we celebrate the diversity and kind of what other improvisers bring. So some improvisers might come from a stand-up background and they're more verbal. Somebody might, you know, stronger in character work, you know. So there's people that are really witty and verbal. There's some people that are very physical and clown-like. So it's a great way to kind of learn from each other.
Wonderful. Well, if people want to find out more about it, the website is vtsl.com. Jay Ono from Vancouver Theater Sports, thanks very much for spending some time with us and letting us know about what's going on. And we'll see you at Murder on the Improv Express.
Great. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks a lot, Jay.
Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Now, another Vancouver institution that's celebrating a bit of an event this week is Slow, the Vancouver band from the 80s that was notorious for shutting down Expo 86. They're going to be performing at the Penthouse. They're opening up the VIP room for the public. They're doing a special show. They've been playing all week, and they've got two more shows left tonight and tomorrow at the fabulous Penthouse Cabaret on Seymour Street. And if you don't know who Slow is, yes, you do. They did this song. We'll be right back.
You know what's better than reading a great magazine? Reading a great magazine that also helps you fight poverty. Megaphone Magazine is sold by homeless and low-income vendors on the streets of Vancouver and Victoria. Vendors buy magazines for 75 cents and sell them for $2. It's flexible, low-barrier work for people who may not have access to traditional jobs. Download the Megaphone app to find vendors and buy the magazine, even when you don't have change. Born out of an initiative to give more voice to local women artists and musicians, Mixtapes is a Vancouver-based biannual mixtape featuring women-identified musicians and sound artists from the Pacific Northwest. The Spring 2018 edition will be coming out on May 10th, with all proceeds going to the Downtown Eastside Women's Shelter. Women-identified artists are invited to send their submissions to btchtapes@gmail.com. The release fundraiser will be held on May 10th at the Redgate Review Stage, featuring artists selected for this edition of the cassette. The Effort Conference is a student-run initiative presented by the UBC Undergrad Association at UBC's Social Justice Institute that is entering its ninth year being hosted on UBC Vancouver campus. The Effort Conference is a day-long conference and includes presentations from students, community organization workshops, free meals, and keynote speeches, while providing a venue for feminist scholars, students, and community members to learn each other's skills, knowledges, and experiences. Each year, all attendees are provided with free access to workshops and student panels related to social justice, as well as a free lunch. This year's Effort Conference will be held on April 28th in the AMS Nest.
And we're back, and there's someone sitting across from me now, and she needs to adjust her mic. There you go. I'll take care of it for you.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hi.
What's your name?
My name is Yura Kang.
Mm-hmm.
Nice to meet you.
And you're an actor. Nice to meet
yes.
you, too. And you're part of a show that I just have to pull up here. You're doing a show called Once on the on This Island. Yeah,
yes.
Once on This Island.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that first. What is Once on This Island?
Yeah, so Once on This Island is a show that deals with the theme of love.
Mm-hmm.
And it has to do a lot with what love can conquer. And the main character in the show goes through many different events to prove to the audience what love can do.
Uh-huh. So much adversity and and challenge. And
yes.
The hero's journey kind of thing.
Exactly, yeah.
This is a musical, and it actually played on Broadway in the 90s.
Yep.
Yeah.
And there's a revival happening right now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite something. Let's see here. Let me just read the synopsis.
Mm-hmm.
Set in the French Antilles archipelago in the Caribbean, the show includes elements of Romeo and Juliet.
Yes.
So you have star-crossed lovers.
Yes.
And also The Little Mermaid.
Yep.
So it's water-based.
Yes. Well, it's on the island.
Yeah.
Water-based. Yeah.
And who do you play?
I play Asaka, the goddess of Earth, the mother of Earth,
yeah,
along with three other gods.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what do they provide the challenges and the obstacles, or what?
Yes, gods play a little game on the main character, and that's why she ends up. Well, the point of the show is that the gods are actually letting her decide what she wants to do,
right?
Rather than the gods making her do something. So there's a moment in the show where the gods say, why don't we let her do whatever she wants and see what happens?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Always a recipe for disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds kind of Greek.
I mean, it could sound like that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. The whole idea of the prankster gods
exactly.
You know, challenging the main character and forcing them through and that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who else is in the show?
In terms of the characters or?
Well, yeah, the characters and the actors.
Okay. Well, there's Brianna playing Timoon, the main girl, and there's Michael, who's playing the lover.
Right.
And
so it's basically Timoon's story, right?
Yes, yeah. It's the story of Timoon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And how does it start? Like, where does she find herself at the beginning?
She starts as this girl on the island, everyone just kind of goes about their daily lives, not really worried about anything. But she in particular is always wondering what else is there to life. And she's always wondering and wanting and yearning a different sort of life. And so the gods listen to that and listen to her prayer and give her the pathway to what, you know, like different things that she can encounter in life. And
so it's actually the Wizard of Oz.
I mean,
she's dreaming of somewhere over the rainbow,
yeah.
And the gods give her the yellow brick road.
Yeah.
And
there's elements of everything like that in this
so
show.
So are you the Wicked Witch of the West? Or
I think the four gods are actually, they're all pretty wicked,
yeah.
I would say. Yeah. They're kind of mean.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So what kind of tricks do you plan, or what kind of challenges does she have to face?
Well, we first give, well, there's a big storm that happens, which
it is the Wizard of Oz.
Very similar now that you say that. But yeah, there's a big storm that happens,
yeah.
And that's where these two characters meet, because the guy gets into a car crash,
yeah.
And that's where T-Moon finds him and tries to heal him.
Right.
Yes.
And
And I mean, you would have to come to the show to find out. So, yeah.
Yeah. And so how did you get involved with it?
I was actually approached by Damon, and he said, do you want to audition?
Damon Jang's the director?
Yes,
yeah.
Damon's the director. Mm-hmm. And he said, do you want to audition for this role?
Yeah.
And I said, yes, of course. And I auditioned, and thankfully I got the role,
yeah.
And here I am.
It's that easy, folks. You just have to be approached by the right director. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from?
I'm from Coquitlam.
Uh-huh.
I'm born in Korea, actually, but I moved to Vancouver, Coquitlam, when I was 7 years old.
Yeah.
And I kind of moved back and forth from Korea and Canada. So I speak both languages, which is awesome.
Yeah.
I went to schools, all three schools, elementary school, middle school, secondary in Coquitlam.
Right.
And then I came to UBC, and I actually only started doing theater after first year of university, which is, I don't think it's that common nowadays. Kids get started so early.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just fell in love with it as soon as I got started. So.
What got you started?
I started taking classes at Broadway Edge with Diana Carina, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked her at the end of the term, I was like, do you think I should be able to audition for shows? And she said, go ahead. Of
yeah.
course, you should start doing that if you really want to.
Were you still in high school when you started doing that?
No.
Oh, okay.
This was still after first year
okay.
of university. Yeah.
Yeah. So you went into university, had no thoughts, no inclination about
no.
doing anything. Like, what were you, where were you headed when you came to university?
Well, I studied business.
Yeah.
So that was completely different. But I was still in band, and I still performed on stage in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I played in the pit band for
yeah.
my high school shows.
Uh-huh.
And I always loved musicals,
yeah.
you know? Like, I did Annie Jr. when I was in elementary school, and I played Molly.
Yeah.
That was my first ever show. And ever since then, I loved watching musicals.
Mm-hmm.
But I never even thought of, you know, being in one
yeah.
until, you know, 2013.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then recently you were involved with MUSSOC, the Musical Theater Society here at UBC.
Yeah.
What show did you work on there?
So we recently did Heathers the Musical,
mm-hmm.
which is a very popular one right
yeah.
now. I was the assistant vocal director. We worked on it since January, and it recently closed last weekend, actually. So,
yeah.
I mean, it was such a great experience. It was my first time vocal directing.
Yeah.
And everyone in the musical theater troupe is so passionate about what they do. And it just makes our job so much easier.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Everyone wants to be there. They want to be a part of it.
Yeah.
So do you see, you know, I mean, this is a musical. This is once on this island.
Yes.
I keep stumbling on the title.
Yeah.
That's a musical. Is that sort of where you see yourself going?
I do want to keep performing.
Yeah.
I don't think it's something that I want to stop. It's
yeah.
such an amazing feeling the moment, you know, you step on stage. Not only that, but just the whole rehearsal process and learning a show.
Mm-hmm.
I love everything about that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Have you done Theater Under the Stars yet?
No, I haven't.
Oh, give it a shot.
I will.
Yeah. Yeah, I've done two shows with them.
Oh,
it's,
really?
It's great fun, yeah.
Which ones have you done?
The first one I did was Footloose
oh,
in
yeah.
2004.
Mm-hmm.
And that was almost the same story as yours.
Mm-hmm.
They're the actor who had been playing the part of the reverend, the father who's against dancing, he dropped out.
The
stage manager was a friend of mine, and I had never really done a musical before. I'd done some other acting at Metro and places like that, but never a full-on musical. Mm-hmm. And but she recommended me to the director, and he says, "Oh, that's all right. You don't have to sing."
Oh,
I did have to sing, but I didn't have to sing well. And of course, that's the only thing the critics mentioned in my reviews. Thanks a lot. But it was, like you said, it's a fantastic experience. Mm-hmm. Just being amongst a group of people that are so dedicated and so passionate to their craft and the performance. And I mean, dancers are crazy.
Yeah.
All they want to do is dance.
Yes.
And, you know, it's exhausting just sitting around all these fit young people just sweating and having fun and singing and
But it's so great.
Yeah, it is.
It's such a great energy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's get the folks out. So you're opening this weekend.
We're opening tomorrow, Saturday, 8 p.m. on Granville Island.
At the Renegade, Redgate Review Stage.
Yes.
Renegade is not, it's a different place.
Different place.
Redgate Review Stage on Granville Island, which coincidentally, for many years, was the home of theater sports that we were just talking about with J.O. just before. Yeah, they moved out of there a few years ago and took over their own space. And so now Redgate runs the Review Stage. It's a nice little place.
Yeah,
and it looks like it's going to be a fun show.
And
let's see, do we have a link for tickets? I don't think it's on this press release, but how do people find out more about it?
You can go on Facebook and look up Fabulous Theater.
Okay.
And all the information is there.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
And there you go. There's your first radio experience.
Thank you.
Please fill out the comment cards on your way out.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks for coming in.
Bye.
All right. I have to find music. There we go. So we're going to play some more music. This is an artist who is just releasing her first EP. Her name is Haley Blaze, and she's going to be performing tomorrow night at the Astoria on Hastings Street.
Chain reaction, but sadly I don't know. LGBTQ2I Night is a positive space for folks to learn about bike maintenance in a relaxed environment led by queer mechanics and volunteers. It takes place on the fourth Wednesday of every month at the Bike Kitchen on UBC's campus. Bring your own bike and fix them with our tools, come with questions and ask away, or learn by watching other folks work on their bikes. Beginners are always welcome. This event is entirely free to attend and there will be free pizza. For more information, visit bikecoop.ca.
Allow me to tell you about Unceded Airways.
What's that?
Isn't that some kind of indigenous radio show?
It sure is. Tell me, are you down for decolonization? Yeah. What?
I certainly wish I could hear about indigenous issues, people, and events on the radio.
You're in luck, because Unceded Airwaves talks about all these things and more every Monday morning at 11.
Music from indigenous artists and coverage of all the hot happenings in indigenous art and entertainment.
On CITR 101.9 FM.
Oh, wow. And they broadcast all this from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of the Musqueam people?
Find out for yourself Monday mornings at 11, or find episodes online at citr.ca.
Today we're joined in the studio by the Cedar Program Youth.
Where you are at.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theater, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theater, visit their website at www.riotheater.ca.
So the Rio, the Rio Save the Rio crowdfunding campaign is going strong. If you haven't heard the story, Rio Theater is they're in a bit of a bind. There's been some rezoning changes that have gotten some developers a little hungry and looking jealously at the or enviously at the property of Broadway and Commercial and want to tear down the theater and build more condos or towers or something there. So in order to stop that from happening, the people that run the theater have to own the theater. And there is a fund being developed right now to raise money. There's kind of a matching donation thing to get the thing going. There's some private investors who are willing to chip in some of it, but we have to chip in as well. So there is a crowdfunding set up for Saving the Rio. They need to raise $1 million. The deadline was last week, but it's been extended. We have until the 16th of April now to get that going. And let's see, where were we here? Lots of stuff in here. It's the last stand of the Rio, very public outcry. They've had some great events. They had Kevin Smith was up last week for a fundraiser. They had the big 30-hour marathon telethon thing going on over the weekend. Hasn't quite gotten it yet. So get on to... I think it's Indiegogo, and we put a link on the Dave Radio Facebook page anyway. Help the Rio save themselves and help us save them as well. And also to keep that going, there's a big burlesque show going on at the Rio this weekend, 8 o'clock tonight and tomorrow night. It's called the Triple X Men, Professor Xavier's Burlesque for Gifted Youngsters, and that's not opening. There we go. It stars all of your faves like Luna Eclipse, Draco Mifboyle, Ginger Femcat, Trixie Hobbitses, Kitty Glitter, Jane Fondue, all of them, all Vixen Von Flex. Oh, I just love burlesque names. Anyway, it's happening tonight and tomorrow night, 8 o'clock at the Rio. Tickets are $15 in advance or $20 at the door. It's a 19 plus event, so alcohol will be served. And the midnight show at the Rio tonight is The Big Lebowski. Speaking of alcohol will be served, that of course is the Coen Brothers classic about the dude with Jeff Bridges and John Goodman, Steve Buscemi, lots of great actors in that one. And I didn't know this, but last time I saw it, somebody told me The Big Lebowski is actually a remake of a Bogart movie called The Big Sleep. So, you know, if you know The Big Sleep, you'll find all kinds of clues in Lebowski. Anyway, that's going on tonight. And we call it the Midnight Show, but it starts at 11:15. So, start times are subject to change, so please arrive on time. Doors for The Big Lebowski open at 10:45. Movie starts at 11:15. Tickets are $8 in advance or in costume. So show up in your favorite ratty bathrobe or $10 at the door. And last time I saw The Big Lebowski at the Rio, they were serving White Russians too. So you might want to check out on that. And let's see. So we got the burlesque show. We got the Big Lebowski. And Monday night they're showing Lady Bird and I, Tonya. So lots of stuff going on this weekend at the Rio Theater. Okay, time now for the call board. Dave Radio Call Board features auditions and calls for crews, musicians, and other contributors for productions around Metro Vancouver. It's our belief that auditions announced here should be open to artists of all cultural, sexual, gender, ability, and other identities. In fact, we encourage everyone to read for everything. The auditions are going on right now for Bach to the Future by the Gotta Sing, Gotta Dance Summer Workshops for kids ages 9 to 19 who love to sing, dance, act, and perform. You can find out more by going to theimpresario.ca. We got some Fringe Festival auditions coming up. They're starting to roll in now. This one is called Mirth on Earth, produced by Urthona, and it's a main stage production that will be happening at the Fringe. They are looking for two males, early to late 20s, and one male, 40 to 75, and a female, early to mid-20s. Anyone who's interested in this should email nemboulon, N-E-M-B-U-L-O-N, @gmail.com, and get in there. The audition is happening tomorrow. And in 2 weeks, Star Star Theater is auditioning for Precious Little by Madeline George, also part of the Fringe Festival. This is going to be included in the Dramatic Works series at the Culture Lab. And that is happening. As I said, the auditions are the 21st and 22nd. They're open to casting cisgender and transgender women, as well as non-binary actors for all three roles. These are three female characters, one in her 60s, one in her 40s, and one in her 20s. Crisp, fast-moving, tough-minded, but often comic play about love, language, memory, culture, and commitment. So go to Star Star Theater to find out more. The auditions, I said, at the 20th and 22nd for Precious Little. Something Extra Collective is doing Pageant, a musical parody. This is a show that's going to be at the XY at Butte and Davie. They're looking for six male comedic actors, singers who move well in heels to portray female beauty contestants. The contestants should be played as real as possible. The more specific and more particular the actors can make them, the funnier they will be. The audition is happening tomorrow. You can find out more by emailing somethingextracollective@gmail.com. Emerald Pig Theatrical Society in Maple Ridge is doing Bard at the Bandstand this year, The Merry Wives of Windsor by Shakespeare. That's happening in July at the Pitt Meadows Spirit Square and the Maple Ridge Memorial. The auditions are on the 14th and 15th at the Maple Ridge Leisure Center. And they are specifically looking for some can-can dancers, a male barbershop quartet, a female saloon singer, ideally, those roles will be taken on by actors who are taking on character roles as well. So you can sing, dance, do a little bit of barbershop. They're looking for you. Emerald Pig at theaterbc.org. Hardline Productions doing Tom at the Farm. This is by Michel-Marc Bouchard. The audition is April 16th and 23rd. This is a play that does feature some strong sexually and disturbing images and violence. So if you don't have the stomach for that, you probably don't want to submit for this one. But there are some interesting characters involved with that. So go to Hardline Vancouver to find out more. Hardline Productions' Tom at the Farm. Dream Rider Productions doing H2 Whoa by Vanessa Lebourdet. And she's also directing this production that's going to be happening in Port Moody in May. The audition is April 16th. They're looking for experienced, enthusiastic performers. Genders don't matter. Ages are young, ages 11 to 14. Younger kids can apply but need to be advanced in dance, acting, and singing. They're also open to a wheelchair-bound actor who can do a modified version from their chair. So if you're a preteen and can sing, dance, and act, this could be the show for you. Submit your photo and resume to dreamriderproductions.com by April 11th. Sky Theater Group doing Soldierland. That's happening at the Orpheum Annex in May. The auditions are on the 21st and 22nd of this month. The deadline for applications is on the 16th to skytheatergroup@gmail.com. Two characters they're looking for, a male who can play a retired commander, so a guy in his 40s or 50s, plus a group of background actors from all genders, abilities, and cultural backgrounds. And you can email Sky Theater to find out more about that and to submit for that audition. Pi Theater, still looking for someone to play the role of Taylor Mack in Her. Taylor Mack is the writer. Max is the character, a transgender child who aged around 17. The playwright is suggested that they look for an actor who was assigned female at birth and identifies as trans, non-binary, or queer, gender queer. The auditions are on the 23rd and 24th. Contact Pi Theater, pitheater.com. Sidekick Players in Sawasin doing Wild Guys by Andrew Reggett. That's happening in June. Looking for four males in their 30s, 40s, or 50s. The play is about four men setting off to find an isolated cabin in the forest for a wild man weekend, and they don't quite get there. It's a very funny play. It's been done here a few times. It's always worth checking out. So if you're a middle-aged guy, go down to Sawasin and participate in the Wild Guys. Axis Theater is holding auditions for Robinson Crusoe and Friday, looking for an actor to play Robinson Crusoe. This is a show that's going to be going on a Canadian and U.S. national tour in the fall, looking for someone in their 20s or 30s, open gender. Actors must have a valid passport and BC driver's license. The audition's April 27th. The deadline to submit is April 13th. Contact axistheater.com for more about that. And the Vancouver Academy of Music Musical Theatre Program is setting up for the summer theatre program that will culminate in a semi-stage production of Side by Side by Stephen Sondheim and a full production of The Emperor's New Clothes by Dave and Jean Perry. These are going to be happening at the Kerner Recital Hall in Vanier Park. The two dates you're looking for here, the auditions for Side by Side are May 7th, and for The Emperor's New Clothes are May 21st and June 11th. You can go to VancouverAcademyOfMusic.com to find out more about that. And we had one more notice. This is Boca del Lupo, Vancouver Theatre Company. This just came in this morning. I haven't had a chance to process it yet, but I wanted to let people know about it. They are doing a show called PEG, or that's the working title anyway. It's going to be a submission for the Vancouver International Children's Festival, and they are looking specifically for theatre artists who are South Asian and Indigenous. The cast of four includes one role for South Asian female and three Indigenous male parts. Peg is, it says PEG, but I meant Peg. It's about a South Asian girl in the trenches of a posh boarding school in London, trying to survive in a daily battle against three IT girls who cast terrible shadows over her world. So if you know anyone that would be interested in participating in that particular show, you can contact Boca del Lupo. They're at Boca del Lupo, which is BOCADELLUPO.com, and look out for the auditions for Peg. And that's it. If you missed any or all of this, or you want details on other audition notices, you can find them at VancouverActorsGuide.com or Vancouver Public Library at vpl.ca. And if you have a notice that you would like read on the air, you can share it on the Dave Radio Facebook page, or you can email us here at DaveRadioPodcast@hotmail.com. And that's it. We got through another one. Thanks for spending your lunch hour with us. Remember, if you have a song that needs airplay, a show that needs audience, an audition that needs actors, a class that needs students, or a film shoot that needs background, we're here for you. Send your details to DaveRadioPodcast@hotmail.com, and please like us on Facebook. And if you missed any or all of today's show or want to relive glorious moments from the past, check out our podcast archive at CITR.ca. And just before I go, there was a couple of other things I wanted to let you know about. Don't forget, Mr. Burns, a post-electric play happening now at Studio 1398 on Granville Island until the 21st of April. And also, Once on This Island, opening tonight at the Redgate Review Stage. We've got Enron, the musical, happening at the Jericho Arts Center with United Players. That goes until the 15th. And Mark Lyron Young's Bar Mitzvah Boy, featuring a friend of the show, Richard Newman, at the Pacific Theater on now until April 14th. All of them definitely worth checking out. We went to see Mr. Burns the other day, and man, that is a crazy show. You're going to like that one. So stick around. Nardwuar, I've noticed, is wandering the halls. He'll be here at 3:30, and lots of great music, lots of great programming going on between now and then. We will be back next week at this same time. Dave Radio says, thanks a lot for listening. Bye-bye.
because we got time for one more or what?